can't just... we're running out of time here. I can't get this open.
Jackson! Okay, I got the clerk.
All right, we got 5 minutes. Okay, yeah, okay. Right. So they have all the information we need?
Yes.
I got some questions for you, all right? Oh, shit.
Did you just...
Oh, shit. I didn't think about this. I didn't think they'd pass out if I hit them with the gun.
Are you fucking with me?
We literally have minutes. Do we have, like, cold water or anything we can splash on her or something?
She's out.
She's out. Okay. Fuck. I don't know. This is... Maybe she talks in her sleep. Lean her against the safe. I'm going to start clicking through the numbers.
I'm feeling it. Let's do it. Moose crossings, red hot dogs, missing persons in salty bogs, up to camp with Stephen King, river curses, Wesley sings, homegrown horror!
Hello!
Hello!
And welcome to
Homegrown Horror. Are you a dog?
The DMX version.
Who let the dogs out?
Oh, the outcast, yeah. Who? I am Jackson, a co-host.
I'm Bea, a co-host, and together we make a single host.
And welcome to Homegrown Horror, a Maine spooky podcast about Maine spooky things. And today we're going to be talking about old-timey bank robberies. Bang, bang, bang.
You find all the old-timey bank robberies,
because my feeling was I didn't want to bum myself out too much with something recent. I think we had some pretty heavy stuff recently.
Yes.
I like how a lot of our focus is just to completely avoid talking about the worst things all just constantly.
We've talked about some really fucking awful things. I think it all depends on, like the last couple of weeks have been, like, really bonkers at work. And so I'm like, I don't want to do a really deep dive. Because that's the other thing is the heavier stuff, when it's a murder, it's a lot. I want to do the best job that I can and, like, really dig in deep. And so that's the hard part. Whereas, like, for example...
It's easy to miss a lot.
Yeah, it's so easy. I have something like doing the old-timey riots or doing a cryptid or something like that, there tends to be much less research. And also, if I miss something or, like, I say something wrong about, you know, a ding ball.
Mm-hmm. No one's going to really dock you on that.
No.
Except for my cryptid heads out there.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I did fuck up, and I tried to edit around it, and I couldn't.
Because
I had made a comment in that episode that I read it as Dino.
Okay.
And then I said, instead of saying ding ball, I said Dino, and you just very quietly behind me are like, ding. Ding ball. Because I was like, Dino Mall, and you're like, ding mall. So...
It's a ding.
It's a ding.
It's a ding mall.
So in those instances, it's like, it's the cryptids. No one's going to care.
No,
but when you're talking about things that affected people, you want to try and get the best information as possible, which is also why I'll usually do a caveat of like, I only found one source that said this. So take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, truly.
But today...
Today,
you said it's Red Dead-like.
It's very Red Dead-esque. That was the vibe that I was getting from this. So, I mean, we've talked about some robberies before. We talked about sort of, like, kind of casual, like, muggings almost even in, like, Portland. I remember we kind of discussed something related to that. I think we were looking at a series of smaller crimes, as I recall. We've also talked about a larger, you know, the classic, like, Mars Hill bank robbery,
mm-hmm.
where the guy took, like, about $100,000 and then just, like, dipped.
I liked that episode.
That was a funny episode.
Yes.
That was hilarious. I was just like, and what does he do at this time? He gets lost in a desert, is what he ultimately does. But he spends, like, so much time just, like... doing drugs, drinking, and partying across Sweden, like England, and just wherever.
It's amazing. I'm surprised that there's more than one sort of major bank robbery in Maine's history when you were like, we have another bank robbery. I was like, what?
I think the reason that people talk a little bit less about this is because maybe because of where it's coming from, the town specifically. And then also, I don't know, I guess maybe people just kind of got over it or something. But I think it's mostly due to the town size, but it was significant. And I gotta say, as far as like sources that I could find that were very reliable, you know? It's like I got some two old-timey news articles that kind of confirm information.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I also have the Bowdoin Historical Society coming in clutch with this report that was created sometime, like, after the trial for the robbery.
Okay.
Like, somebody had gone to the work to, like, compile a full report of, like, this is what happened.
Awesome!
They had some editorializing. But in essence, that's going to be a big part of like the material today is that source. But verifiable, kind of goofy, little wacky at times.
All right.
And, hey, you know, I won't spoil it, but it's I think this is a grand old time. But we're going to go to Bowdenham.
Okay.
Bowdenham.
Yes.
Bowdenham.
Bowdenham.
Bowdenham. Really, Bowdenham.
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 Well, because there's like Bowdoin College.
Yeah.
Add ham to it. Bowdenham. Bowdenham.
And that makes me upset for some reason.
What?
I don't know. It's just like, we just slap a ham on this town.
Yes. Slap a ham
on
it.
Have you been to little old Bowdenham?
You're just going to do that now.
Yeah, probably.
No, but so when I used to work at Maine State Music Theater, I did that for 3 years, and the first year, intern housing was in Topsom, which is kind of near Bowdenham. So yeah. I'm familiar with the general area, but I've never been in Bowdenham proper.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised there. It's a tiny little town. Right now it only has 3,000 people. But back in 1860, you had about 2,343 people. So really not much has changed, I think, as far
tiny.
As like, it's a tiny little community.
Yes.
And as far as I could tell, yeah, it's in this, like, Topsom area. You would really just describe this as the Topsom area.
Topsom, like, yeah, because it's, like, it's...
So, wait, Tops...
Topsom.
And then they have H-A-M after that?
Topsom.
Why aren't you calling it Topsham?
It's Topsom.
Why is this Bowdenham, and why is this Topsom? This should be... By this logic, you people have...
You
these
know
rules
what?
You people have created, this needs to be Topsham.
I usually, when we drive by, I go, Topsham.
Topsham. It is a fun town to say.
But, yeah, because it's like, we have Brunswick, and then Brunswick, Bath, Bowdenham, and Bowdenham, and Topsham. And... Yes, you saying that just reminds me of fucking, I think it was a Vine, where she was just sort of like, how is this, is Kansas, how is this Arkansas, this is Arkansas, why America, why not, why is it Arkansas?
I remember that, she's like, and she has like these long nails too,
yes,
she's like tapping the map, just like, why not Arkansas?
Why is it Arkansas? Just, yes, so...
So this is what I'm also upset about. Yes, you people have inconsistent rules.
You're saying small town.
Yeah, small town. So that's kind of where I'm thinking maybe this is why the story doesn't get much traction. Because of like, this is mostly a history of the town. History kind of, the town kind of honors this history in some ways. There's even like a pub, not sure if it's still around, called Three Robbers Pub. That is in that area.
That's fucking badass.
Yeah, and it's in reference to that history. So as far as, like, the town itself, well aware, but as, I didn't hear about this at all. I'm surprised this is the first time it's come up and not more people have mentioned it. But on the evening of June 21st, 1866, it was around 10 p.m. at night, a moonless night, perfect for subterfuge. Skullduggery. All sorts of things. Where we have in the sleepy little town of Bowdenham, Mr. Robert Butterfield, a cashier of the National Village Bank of Bowdenham.
That's such a cute little name.
The National Village Bank. Yeah, it's pretty cute.
It's cute.
I don't know if it was a larger company. I didn't look into that.
Yeah.
Like, but it is kind of interesting. for it to say
National Village.
Like, it's like, that's got to be the tagline, right, for the bank. That's got to be its, like, trademark. Anyway. 1866, did it have that? Anyway, Robert's deciding it's about time to rest. He's been burning the midnight oil with, you know, being a cashier, which I imagine is a lot of bookkeeping.
Yeah.
And he's about to turn it down. He's got a wife who's kind of ill, has a bit of a sickness, who is sleeping in a front bedroom with their infant child. And then Robert decides to snuff the lights, put away his books, and he goes to a second bedroom.
So they live in the bank.
No. They live in a house down the street from the bank, further away from the bank. But he is a cashier of the bank.
Okay. so he's at his house?
His house, yes. Sorry.
Thank you. I was like, wait, they live at the bank?
They live at the bank. They live on the bank. I'm sure someone must have lived on top of the bank. That'd be easier to keep track of things, right? If you lived above the place where all the money is.
It's a lot easier to siphon it.
Yeah, there you go.
That'll just be my rent. There we go. So he's at home, but he works at the bank.
He works at the bank. He's got his bank books with him. God. He brought his work home. Hmm. He's a dedicated bank employee.
Okay.
He's doing the books. He's behind.
Sure.
Like, you know, someone like took out like 20 cents. Okay. It's got to be rebalanced, dude.
Man.
So he's retiring to this second bedroom that's in the back of the home that is with his 12-year-old son.
Okay.
So, you know, married. I don't know.
Married, two kids, white picket fence. Separate bedrooms,
you know? I don't know.
Well, you said she's ill.
She's kind of ill.
He doesn't want to sleep with an ill woman.
Well, she's sleeping with the infant. It's not like she's, like, hyper-contagious or anything like that, you know? I don't know the extent of the disease. It doesn't seem like she's contagious.
I love that we're just making assumptions about this married couple. I do think, Allegra and I were having this conversation, I do think that back in the day, most married couples seemed to sleep separately anyway.
That's what I was about to say, that I think that was a big thing. And if you just wanted to, you know, get things done, you meet in the middle.
Yes.
Like, let's take this to the living room.
While our infant and our 12-year-old are in the other bedrooms.
That's a no privacy here. He's dousing everything. Gross. And outside are supposedly four men waiting for that final light to extinguish. And as they see that light go out, they just keep loitering. It's, you know, very dark still. People are passing them by, not really paying much mind. And these four individuals wait about 2 hours until three of them enter the pantry window because it was unlatched. Some of them have knives, guns, presumably both. But these individuals were David Bartlett, who is bald, about 50 years old, Oren Sims, a tall athletic build, and about 33, and Davis McGuire, who had a slender build and was about 28. All three of these individuals had served, known each other through the penitentiary system and had served typically at the same time. I think the connection mostly was that all three of them must have interacted at Sing Sing.
Okay.
With the older individual, the 50-year-old Bartlett, David, he had served the most time, almost half his life in prison.
Interesting.
Yeah. They slipped in pretty quietly and got into the room that Robert was sleeping in with his son. Then one of these individuals had pistol whipped Robert in the back of the head. Robert's also about to have a bad time.
Oh, no.
Robert's not going to have much fun. But he got pistol whipped, fell unconscious. When he regained consciousness, all three of the individuals bound him up so he couldn't move from the floor. One individual stayed with Robert and the son, and the other two began to search the rest of the home, where they found Henrietta and the infant. Henrietta had claimed that one of the individuals had been yelling to kill her baby.
Ah!
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was loud.
Yeah, it was loud.
I'm sorry. That was just sort of like unnecessary on the part of these robbers.
You got really into the story there, buddy. while the other one had taken a cooler hand approach, sat down on the bed, and just calmly explained that all we're looking for is money. Your husband's fine. I put some pillows under his head. He's doing okay. You don't need to worry about him. We're just here to get money and leave. Meanwhile, the other, the robbers ended up doubling up on Robert and were demanding to know where the location of the bank keys are. Robert's pretty confused and dazed, you know, having been pistol whipped. Like, honestly, bad move. It's like, we need information from this guy. Let's hit him with
a gun. Let's give him a concussion.
Let's give him a concussion. It's like, you could have killed him, man. It's like, he's not ready for that.
No.
That's weird.
It's the sound of the snow hitting the window. It's also snowing.
It's also snowing. Yeah, we're in the middle of like a random bit of snowstorm here.
Boo.
It's kind of cute, though. Now that it's stopped snowing, I like it more.
Yes, when it's not snowing, yes. But having to go clean the car off this morning was a piece of... It's fine.
No, it was fun.
I hate it. I was like, I'm done for the year. Just kidding.
Just kidding. Here's third winter. Just feel lucky. You have three winters. Some people don't even get one.
They can have it.
So the other two are interrogating Robert, and, you know, Robert relented, you know, caring about his family's safety, and said, the keys are right there. They took the keys. And
he figured out where he was.
They took the keys. And then Robert mentioned saying that they had ended up gagging him with a pillowcase. And then he was, like, left alone for, he thinks, about a half hour until...
Is the 12-year-old still in the room?
The 12-year-old is bound.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they did their due diligence, and then with Henrietta, they're just sort of like, look.
No, they bound her too.
Fucking hell! Did they bind the infant? Did they tie his little hands with a little fucking napkin?
I think they probably left the infant, like, in a crib or something.
The bassinet.
Yeah, the bassinet. That would make sense. It's not like the baby can go dial 911 or anything.
I don't think there's 911.
Exactly.
No one's dialing 911.
No, exactly.
I can't believe that initially they were like, kill the baby.
Well, one of them was saying that.
What the hell, man?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was the younger one, maybe. The McGuire guy. I forget which one.
Bro, exactly. Calm down.
Anyway. So, as they entered... Let's take a step back for a moment. So, Robert, he's on the ground. Yes. He's feeling terrible. It's a bad night.
Yeah.
He's left alone. He's gagged. And then about a half hour later, he's hoisted back onto his feet and his ankle cords are tied. The robbers then took Mr. Robert out of the home, down the street, to the bank... opened the door, and Robert had mentioned saying that he saw next to the vault, or the safe, a masked individual who nearby had a dirk and a pistol. A dirk is a knife.
Thank you.
Yes.
I was going to ask.
Yes, indeed. Robert had noticed that the robbers had opened the first, like, gate to the safe? I don't know. The first door? This one, the safe had like multiple doors. They got one of them.
I'm just imagining it like Red Dead where it's not an actual safe. There are smaller safes inside of a room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how I'm imagining it.
That's also kind of how I'm imagining it, but maybe this is like
you go through the door. So there's the front of the bank. You go through the back door.
Yeah.
There might be, if there is another,
there's
but
another
like,
door to the rest of it.
So there, yes.
But this kind of made it sound like there was a singular safe in this interesting. Bank. Like a large safe that just had everything.
You mean, kind of like in a cartoon.
Like in a cartoon.
Or like modern day bank. I have seen like the safe open like in a modern day bank.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you don't need that. You just let it air now.
Yes.
It's like, we got to show it off though.
Yes.
Look how neat all these drawers are. So the issue apparently for the robbers was that as they got to the final boss of the safe, they found a combination lock and were like, well, shit, we don't know that. So they brought Robert over and said, hey,
they're not talented enough to hear for it.
I guess they all forgot their stethoscope. Because that's the thing they use. Yeah. They use a little stethoscope or something. But I guess, yeah, they're not as good. Yeah, no, Red Dead makes it seem really easy to rob a bank in, the 1800s. Like, literally, it's like, oh, yeah, I just have to dial the right stick a little bit this way until I hear something click.
Click.
It's like, yeah, maybe that was how it was, but, like, that doesn't seem... It would probably be a little harder. after the safe was unlocked, David Bartlett pushed Butterfield aside and then opened the safe immediately, grabbing everything valuable that they could find. Of all the things that they got out of the box, there is a tally. $72.75 worth of gold and silver coins. $3,581 worth of National Village Bank of Bodenham bills, plus $907.65 in bills of other banks, $3,715 in legal tender notes, $1,430 in simple interest notes. United States Treasury notes amounting to $9,500. And $42,700 in treasury bonds, Kennebec and Portland Railroad bonds totaling $9,000, plus State of Maine bonds totaling $2,000, and bank coupons valued at $555.
Now I'm assuming that you've done the work for me.
$73,461.50.
Is that in today's money?
That's in their money, and I'm going to do this live. Because it's fun to do this live.
You like to do this live.
I love doing it live. Inflation calculator, 1800s. Let's see. I don't know how accurate these are.
I don't either. I think they usually pick the first one I see. They take a percentage and...
Yeah, but if it's just a basic, like, oh, yeah, 3% a year, like, dumb kind of way to measure inflation, that's going to be off. I guess they would have a record of the inflation at that time. So $73,461 in 2024 dollars. That is, that is
Jackson can read this number.
Anyway, $2,425,214.20.
So $2 million. That's a lot for being in a tiny baby bank.
Right? Three people, $2 million, $2.5 million. Like, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
That's a good takeaway. You know? You think everything would be hunky-dory for these folks, that they would get away scot-free. You're wrong!
I have a question, too. Are these men from the area? Or are they just, like, roving around?
I think they're roving around. Okay. Like, they know each other from prison.
Yeah.
And I think that they might be based in New York, potentially.
It's just interesting that they happen to fucking know where the clerk's house is, and like they have that, they must, like, if they're roving, they probably sat and gathered intel, and like
that's what I would imagine. Like, if they're just like going around and looking for places to rob, then maybe the initial idea like is, let's go to just a rural town,
and then
like rob that.
They go, you know, they see this guy come, you know, he works at the bank, they tail him home, they're like, cool, we make, okay, got it.
Like, maybe that's how it went. Yeah. I have no idea.
This is editorializing.
At this point.
I'm trying to make it make sense.
No. It makes sense. I think that there's a reasonable, as, like, there was intent. Mm-hmm. Maybe it wasn't, like, super planned out.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it's just happenstance. But, yeah, they would have done some scouting, at least to, like, figure this all out, you know? But it didn't seem like from any like witnesses either that anybody knew who these people were.
Interesting. So yes,
like definitely from outside the area, not sure if Maine based or somewhere else. So after taking all this,
the money,
all the bonds and loose change that they could find, they ended up taking Mr. Butterfield back home.
Just dropping him off.
Just dropping him off. It's like, hey, thanks for all the money. They put him in bed. They tied his feet to the bed. You know, they resecured him so he can't get away. They probably kissed him goodnight. Probably read him a book.
Tucked him in.
Tucked him in a bit. Said thank you very much. Then they, I believe they made sure everybody was gagged and still secured. And then said to the family,
bon voyage.
Shut up for about 2 hours or we'll kill you. And then they left.
Shut up or we'll... But what if it's only like an hour?
I mean, they won't they be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah, they're not... Well, that's the thing.
45
like,
minutes.
That was just like a bluff. It's like, there's no way that they can enforce this. They're just doing their...
They're bluffing.
They're going to go off. And they do go off. At this point, one of them does ask... So we've only like heard of three people. Supposedly there's four. Because one individual asks if there is another... I'm not going to say the word... But if there's another diverse member of their group outside still keeping watch, and these three people are white anyway.
That's what you need to know.
That's what you need to know. And then they said, yes, that individual was still out there. That's the only reference we get to another fourth member.
Okay, but they just like ditched him?
No, he's... outside keeping watch, it seems. That's what they just said.
Like outside the home?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Wait, you said that they left, so I'm like, where are they at when they're having this guy? Anyway.
Well, I was just like,
I still understand. Inside. I got it.
It's one of the last things they
said. I understand now. Okay. Got it.
So they're racist.
So that's overheard by.
Yeah, the family.
Understood.
I think it was Henrietta that heard that.
I've got it now. I am here. I am on the train. Let's go.
All right, perfect. So, fourth member, this is never proven. We never have, like, any proof there was a fourth member.
Interesting.
At all. So, but the robbers then escaped on foot and eventually went down to Center Street in an area that is called Patton's Woods, where a carriage and two horses were waiting for them. They ended up taking that carriage to pretty much all the way out to Portland. And yeah, just tried to make their way down as far as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So witnesses had turned up. Like, I thought this was interesting. Like, but it does make sense. Like, people seem genuinely upset about this. There were like several witnesses that came forward. And imagine because it's like at that time, it's not like I feel like these banks have much insurance, right?
No.
No, they probably don't. So your bank gets robbed.
That's all your money.
That's all your fucking money too.
Yep.
I don't know if like they're insured at this time, but who knows? But yeah, a bunch of people just like reported saying like, yeah, I saw like a carriage go by pretty fast at one point. Some people weren't able to like fully identify how many people were on said carriage, but there was confirmation of a carriage that was matching a description that was like commonly found. Some people maybe even thinking that like, oh, because it was so dark that it might have been some like loose horses even.
Gotcha.
But the trail took them all the way down to Portland, where there wasn't much any leads at that time, until two young boys found a bit of evidence that included $354 in coupons and $250 in bonds.
So they were just like, fuck this.
No, I think they just like missed it or something.
Oh.
And also they found partially burnt papers that seemed to be from the National Village Bank of Bodenham.
All right.
Then apparently someone over in Bath decided to find like an investigator. But also there was a reward that come out for the apprehension of these individuals. It would include $10,000 total. And that was $3,000 for the robbers and $7,000 for the missing dollars.
All right.
I feel like you're never going to get that money back no matter what.
No.
You know? at that point, it's kind of like, I'm going to stuff this in my saddle. Like, no. It's like, why would I trade $73,000 for $7,000?
Absolutely.
It's like, nah.
You know, man, nah. I found the guys, didn't find the money. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
So this ended up attracting, like, various bounty hunters onto the scene. Which is kind of funny to think of. Like, this is, yeah, there's, like, fucking bounty hunters out here. You know, everyone got a little, like, red blip on their map and a notification that... Rad X 7 is now has a bounty on them, and you can just go after them.
Fucking hell. Head up to Bodenham.
Heading up to Bodenham. Get on my horse. Just feed it steroids. Get all the way up there.
Get all the way up there. Oh my goodness. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
It's that out of every rural town from like Maine to New York. Bodenham. That's the one.
I don't know. Like, they must have, like, been... That can't be the only thing they robbed along this journey.
That's right? That's the other thing is, I'm like, I do feel like they must have robbed other places.
I feel like maybe they knew how much money, that they figured that there would be enough money in this specific town versus other, like, rural banks. Because, like, there would have to be a reason why, like, so much money might be available.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, this was, like, a logging area, as far as I could tell.
Ooh, that might be the other thing, is if they're like, okay, this area's in the lumber woods, like, that's bopping right now.
Yeah, but it's sort of like Bodenham being... Is that, like, in the lumber woods?
I don't know.
I don't know. There must have been something to draw them there.
Yeah.
Like, if they had that.
I mean, there's no woods there now. I mean, or at least, like, the area that I am thinking of. There's a little bit of woods. Just a little bit. But it's not, like, deep woods.
So, like, yeah, crazy bounty hunters and all this shit. Like, the folks over in the Bath, Maine area even hired an investigator, a PI. Ooh. His name was Moses Sargent.
That's a great name.
That's a fucking great PI name. So he was hired to get on the case... to try to locate where the robbers might have gone. His journey took him all the way over to New York City!
Woo! New York City!
Where the detective was able to positively identify the robbers and then got connected with the local police to end up making the arrest. So he was able to track them down, and then he brought
the boys. So they waddled back to New York
with the main money. They waddled all their main money over to New York. And spent it all. They didn't find any of this money.
Well, no shit. I feel like if you steal money, spend it immediately.
Hide it in a brick wall somewhere. Yes. So, officers ended up tracking down Bartlett and McGuire in New York and watched them enter a home on 8th Street near 16th Street. Officers got onto a streetcar to get ahead of the robbers as they left the home, where then they turned and subdued Bartlett. But then McGuire started to run. An officer ran after him, and then another officer that was down the street grabbed McGuire.
Amazing.
All these officers. Do you think they had their little whistles? Oh my goodness. In Red Dead, when you like rob stuff in Saint Denis, then all the police officers just start blaring on their whistles. Which is hilarious. Dang it!
It's been a while.
Yeah. Hello? Yo. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. We're recording the episode.
Now you're on the episode.
You're on the episode now. Congratulations. Wahoo! Okay.
So blaring the whistles.
They're blaring those whistles. Yeah, no, I just think it's funny when, like, you end up robbing something in Saint Denis or performing a crime, and then all the police, like, if they just see you, they're just immediately on those whistles. And it's just, like, hundreds of police officers just like...
So, yeah, let's imagine that's what's happening. They're that's all chasing basically what's after happening.
Them. They're blowing their whistles. They're going crazy.
Would you later blow my whistle, baby?
Later, more whistleblowing was had when Sims was arrested the same day. He was trying to resist arrest and then reportedly was then punched in the face and taken into custody.
Hell yeah.
The robbers were brought back to Bath, Maine to stand trial. I'd mentioned already that, like, how these three had served time before. So they tried to make their, you know, defense as, you know, good as possible. You know, tried to make it seem like, oh, they weren't even there. They weren't even there. Oh, this is kind of wild. They were, like, all in shackles at the trial. Like, I don't know. That's probably not going to, like, do well for your image if you're defending yourself.
Yep.
But they didn't give a shit. No. They're like, nah, you guys kind of suck. So we're going to let you go in. They're trying to, like, make it seem like, oh, they weren't there. They're at a birthday party the day of. And they even brought, like...
They were at a birthday party.
They were at a birthday party. And then they brought in some, like, witnesses to, like, say, yeah, that's what happened. Which is like, no. But there was enough witnesses to, like, weigh against these three. Enough positive identifications.
Yes.
To basically say, yep, nope. They all got the maximum sentence of 15 years at the state prison in Thomaston. They also ended up probably getting some more stuff piled onto them that I was not able to confirm, though, related to the assault of the Butterfields and the burglary of their home.
Yep.
So, yeah, no, there's more crimes in here.
And attempted murder.
Crazy stuff, though.
They fucking pistol whipped him.
They pistol whipped him. But I've pistol whipped people in Red Dead. So that's like, you know, they seem fine. I guess, like, if you're playing Red Dead and you're trying to rob a bank, you know, you're going to get things wrong. Not trying to create excuses for these people.
No! So they're sentenced to
sentenced.
To Thomaston.
To Thomaston.
For how long?
I said 15 years each.
I've got it.
Who's texting me?
You're popular today.
Apparently. It's mostly just my wife.
Yes, you did say 15. Yes, thank you. Thank you for reminding the listener.
15 years each. That's the maximum. They got some more time afterwards. Stop it. I'm going to turn my phone off. Hold on. Now I'm thrown off. Anyway. So that's the robbery. How'd you like it?
I think I'm kind of surprised with how things, just the fact that these are some, like, criminals, like, career criminals from New York come in and are like, Bodenham.
Yeah. Nice time. Nice place this time of year.
Yeah. It's great. It's
like, let's go on down.
Good place for a birthday party.
June. Yeah. Nice sweltering heat. Mosquito season.
Oh, our favorite. Yeah, it's just, I think the other thing is, I'm really surprised that I haven't seen this
anywhere else. I had not seen anything, yeah.
Because I feel like this is the sort of thing that people eat up.
Yeah,
in terms
seriously.
Of, like, you know, the did you know, or like the only in your states or whatever. And I'm like, only I have not states. Seen anything.
And as far as reward was concerned, it was, at that time, supposedly the largest reward for someone's, like, capture that had ever been issued in the state.
Really?
So at that time, it was a big fucking deal. Yeah. So, but yeah, wild. Didn't hear anything else about this. And I was just kind of on a whim of, like, I want to know what other weird old-timey bullshit people are getting up to here.
Was that, were you inspired after last week?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, just like wild. Wild that I'd never heard of this. And I was like, okay, let's find something else that's weird.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that I feel, like, Maine is one of those... I feel like it probably is everywhere, too, but you're just like, how the fuck did we not know about this? How the fuck?
I guess it's, like, not a happy memory, so it's, people kind of get over it, or, like, well, the riots, I don't know how anybody never talked about that.
Well, because it's the same with, like, the rum riot.
Yeah.
You know, like, Liquid Riot has, like, the Portland Rum Riot rum that they make.
Yeah.
But I've never... And, you know, I feel like schools here made a big deal about Maine history.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're not covering all the riots.
No!
We say, bring the riots to the schools.
Oh, God.
Bring them back. The kids gotta know.
No. They gotta know.
Well, you know, I think even though the Mainers may not be connected on necessarily expressing their love of all things Maine history, there's one thing all of you won't shut up about, and it's our next Maine-ism.
Hey, hey, it's a Maine-ism.
What won't we shut up about?
It's going to be sort of a mix of things, but what we're talking about today is mud season. Us being pretty much in mud season at this point.
Yeah.
I figured, see, you're already sighing. There's it this is, look of disgust and disdain on her face.
I would venture to say, this year, what... mud season is... it wasn't that bad this year initially, because, like, mud season and full spring, like, overlap.
Yeah.
A little bit. So, like, we were pretty dry for mud season up until now.
Up until now. Now it's just, we're in full
spring. Yeah, we're in full back to winter.
100%. I mean, we'll be back to, like, mud and rain probably here soon, mm-hmm. I'd imagine. But yeah.
So what's mud season, Jackson?
Mud season is the period of typically moving goalposts around March.
Yes.
In Maine specifically.
Yes.
Where the temperatures, as you were just literally describing, where you switch between, you know, your fool spring, third winter, all these different sort of like competing weather elements to make March very rainy, wet, muddy, and very cold.
Yes.
It's just like, it's a, because how wet and cold it is like a weird humidity yes. to the freezing temperatures.
Yeah. And it's like, the reason why I said this year hasn't been so bad is normally, like, when there's a lot of fucking snow.
Yeah.
And it's melting and it's taking forever to melt, it's just wet for a really, really long time. And when the ground finally, like, peeks through, it's so soft because it's just been, like,
saturated.
Cooking underneath the snow.
Yeah.
It's cooking underneath the snow. So, fun fact.
Your trails just get all fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
You go out walking around anywhere here, it's just like scrapes of boot prints.
Yeah, there have been a couple places that we went that have been pretty muddy for hiking and stuff, and it's just sort of like, ooh. You have to be prepared to clean your shoes off.
Yes.
Don't wear shoes that you like.
I went to a park recently that shall not be named that was like very, very muddy in general. Like, was nice to get out.
Yes.
But there was a lot of spots where like, I'm going to tiptoe carefully around this.
Yep.
Try not to eat it.
Even sometimes into May, because like we went to Mackworth last year for Legger's birthday, which is the 1st of May.
Mm-hmm.
And it was still so the trails were just wet.
Yes.
but here's
the essence of the disdain. All of you complain about this. I have not met a single person from Maine, out of towners. They're kind of like, some of them are a little ambivalent to this. All y'all are like, I hate March. I've heard so many people say, I hate March.
It's just
it's like March, like, is the worst.
Maine is beautiful.
It is very gray around this time.
It's gray. And again, it's like, it's different where you're like, you're walking on snow. At least you've got that sort of, or it's just like gross. The other thing is, if there is still snow during mud season, it's usually mixed with dirt.
Uh-huh.
So it's nasty looking.
It's nasty brown snow.
Yeah, it's nasty brown snow. So I wanted to say, fun fact. Allegra's school, her high school, did not do summer school. They did mud season school.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Because then it gave you time to catch up before the end of the year.
Oh my goodness.
You wouldn't have to miss out on, so like it would happen during like spring break.
Gotcha. So you'd have a week where it's like you're gonna keep learning.
Yeah, so instead
that's upsetting.
Well, it's better than like having to go during summer.
Well, yeah, that's what it's like. Everyone's going to Florida or something, and it's like, no, you get to stay here.
I like that you think that everyone can afford to go to Florida.
All of you just drive down there. That's what you do. You migrate.
I just fucking spent every spring break just like usually at Allegra's house. But like, it didn't go anywhere because we could not afford that shit.
Went down to Disneyland.
No.
No? Okay.
I went to Disney when I was very young, when I was an only child. It was because my grandparents took me and my mom. They took the two of us.
They took the two of you. Yeah.
My dad was in the army. He was too busy. He couldn't get time off.
Yeah, no, it's like, I can't go to Disney World.
And we lived in Georgia at the time, so my grandparents flew down and we met them and we went to Disney.
There you go.
Twice. Then I was not an only child anymore and that never happened again.
So I'm sorry to hear that your sister's ruined yet another thing for you.
No, Jamie's actually been listening lately. He doesn't mean it. But yeah, I do have a disdain for mud season, and I usually am just sort of like, can we skip to the good part? To summer.
I agree with you.
I want it to be warm enough for me to go in the water, and for the fucking trails and the grass to come through and it not be muddy.
Yeah.
I want to wear my shoes without getting mud everywhere.
Well, you and the entire state agrees with that sentiment.
Yeah.
And all these listeners agree that this is the end of the episode.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to tell us, what do you think of mud season? Are there any other like weird sort of crimes, old-timey crimes or anything like history related in your neck of Maine?
I'm in the market for a train robbery. Really looking forward to something like that.
If you have those, reach out to us at homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or on our Instagram at homegrownhorrorpod. You can also leave us a rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, or you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts as well. But we're just happy that y'all are here learning with us and just taking it one day at a time as we find all, like, uncover all these really crazy things we didn't learn in school here in Maine.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We really appreciate it. It's always a treat and always a fun time. See you on the next episode.
Bye.